What's up, guys? I'm Kevin Lapka. This is the Lapka and Tally podcast here with Ryan Tally. What's up, Ryan? How we doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. You? I'm doing great. Fantastic. Can't complain. This is the Week 14 NFL Game Preview podcast. We're going to do a little bit of a different format this week. We're just going to do, for each of us, the lock of the week, favorite of the week, underdog of the week, and sleeper of the week. So that's four games each for each of us. And we're going to start off with a few storylines around the NFL this week. It was actually a pretty hectic week around this league. Let's start with the one that got the most headlines. Pretty bad, but Kareem Hunt was released by the Chiefs following being a participant of a video in which he was in an altercation with a woman. So he was first put on the commissioner's exempt list, and after the Chiefs had found out he lied about the situation, he was cut by the Chiefs. Now, there's a lot of other stuff going around with this. Apparently, the league did not investigate into Kareem Hunt. They did not ask the woman any questions or anything. There's a lot of questions around it, so it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on, because this is a second-year player in Kareem Hunt, a guy who had a ton of potential, and now it's... there's a lot of teams who would like to have this guy on the roster due to talent. But the question is, will he be signed following any type of investigation by the NFL? And will a team want a guy like this on their roster? What would that say about the franchise? So that's something to keep an eye on, surely, in the coming, you know, offseason possibly, or in the coming years, and see where Kareem Hunt will land. Second biggest storyline of the week, Mike McCarthy was fired by the Packers after a 4-7-1 start. So Joe Philbin is now the interim head coach in Green Bay. A lot of people were surprised to see this, but there's actually a lot of Packers fans that I'm seeing who are more than happy about this, which doesn't make too much sense to me. We'll talk about that later. Calvin Benjamin, best wide receiver for the Bills, was just released by them. Says it just wasn't working out for them in Buffalo, so he was released. We'll see if he gets picked up. He's kind of been tossed around the league, especially recently. He hasn't showed much promise in recent years, so we will see what he will do. Raiders signed CJ Anderson, kind of something, a little fantasy insight to keep your eye on, because the Raiders had been rolling with, I believe, Doug Martin. So
And Jalen Richard.
So two guys who were solid, but we'll see if CJ Anderson can take over that lead back spot in Oakland. And one more thing, Jerry Jones says Sean Lee will get the starting role when healthy. The reason why this is kind of a storyline is because right now in Dallas, you have two really good linebackers in Jalen Smith and rookie Leighton Vander Esch. So assuming, based off these words from Jerry Jones, Sean Lee will get a starting role, will you see less snaps from Jalen Smith or less snaps from Leighton Vander Esch? So it's something to keep an eye on over there if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan. And then some quick injury news. Greg Olsen is out for this season. What kind of injury? I think, was it a leg injury?
Plantar tendon.
We don't know the anatomy of it. But Greg Olsen is out for the year. Kind of sucks for a guy who was injured earlier in the year, wasn't he? And he came back.
Yeah,
and
he broke his foot last year.
Right.
Came back at the end of last year. I think he re-injured it again. Comes back this year, same injury as last year. So he's been dealing with pretty much the same injury for 2 years now.
Yeah, so that's tough for Greg Olsen, as he was actually getting back on track, looking nice for the Panthers. So they lose that weapon. Colt McCoy, backup quarterback for the Washington Redskins, a team that is 6-6. He is out for the year with a leg injury, so that makes both the backup and the starter for the Redskins go out of the year with leg injuries. So tough break for them. They're going to have Mark Sanchez starting the rest of the way. Quick little side note to that was, apparently the Redskins did talk about and discuss Colin Kaepernick, but they chose not to take Colin Kaepernick, and they chose to take Mark Sanchez because they believed Mark Sanchez was better with the system, and they didn't want a guy who would have to learn more in a short period of time. But just because of the whole Colin Kaepernick issues, that is a storyline. Emmanuel Sanders just today tore his Achilles in practice. Terrible break for the Denver Broncos, as they are actually set up right now for a wild card spot. They're setting up to make a run right now. They're 6-6, and they just lose their best offensive playmaker other than Philip Lindsay. So Cortland Sutton Rookie wide receiver is really going to have to step up for Emmanuel Sanders there. And then two quarterback notes, Mitchell Trubisky will be back this week versus the Rams, and Sam Darnold will be back this week versus the Bills. So that being said, we're going to go right into our lock of the week. We'll start with Ryan. Who is your lock of the week this week in week 14? Who is for sure going to cover the spread?
My lock of the week is going to be the New Orleans Saints here. I have them at...
Against who?
Against Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
-8, -9. I'm seeing two different spreads. But I think they're going to win this game by two touchdowns. They got shut down by the Cowboys last week in a surprising game, actually. But that was more to do with the Cowboys' defense stopping the Saints' offense than the Cowboys outscoring the Saints' team. The final score was 13-10, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a problem, really, that the Saints' defense let up all of these points to the Cowboys. This was just the Cowboys schemed a perfect game, figured out a way to stop this New Orleans offense that had been rolling for the past 10 weeks. Their first loss was against Tampa Bay. I think this is a little bit of a revenge game, kind of avenge your loss from the beginning of the season. Mm. And I think Sean Payton will get his guys ready. I mean, Drew Brees has been in this league forever. He's no stranger to a bounce-back game. I think the Saints come out strong. I think they win this game big. Tampa Bay really does not have the defense to stop this Saints offensive attack. The Buccaneers' offense is shaky. You never really know what you're going to get from them. You could get four interceptions and three fumbles, or you could get four touchdowns and no turnovers. You never really know. Mm-hmm. But I think a division game, I think New Orleans' defense plays well. They have been playing well. It's not like they've been awful. Last week, they just got stopped offensively, and that they rely on their offense. While their defense does play well, their offense is the main point of the team, and when you can't get the offense going, it's really tough to win games in the league. So I think New Orleans will win this game big. I think they'll bounce back from the loss week one that they suffered to the Buccaneers. I think they bounce back from their loss last week against the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, so Ryan's taking the Saints there in a lock. I'm going to agree with him on that. I'll go with the Saints in this one. It's too hard to pick against them despite them losing to the Cowboys last week. I know the Buccaneers beat them in week one, but again, that's week one of the season. Ryan Fitzpatrick was absolutely magical in that game. And now the Buccaneers are better at home. They're 4-2 record-wise, 3-3 against the spread at home. So more promise at home for the Buccaneers. I think they keep it close for a lot of the game. Jameis Winston is kind of getting better, which is what you want to see if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this New Orleans offense is too much for this Buccaneers secondary, in my opinion. I think they do avenge their loss. I think the Saints win by at least 8, so that would mean they cover. So I agree with that. We're going to go to my lock of the week, which is the Giants, -3.5 against the Redskins. Giants are the away team here, but, I mean, it started at -1 for the Redskins, and then it was found out that Colt McCoy broke his leg, and then it moved to Giants, -3.5. But there's a lot to say about this game. This is the second straight week now that the Giants are playing a backup quarterback, so it's pretty lucky for them. But, you know, Eli Manning has been better in his last four games. I think I had the stats pulled up right here. His completion or his passer rating in the past four games are 115.3. He has a 3-1 record, 7 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So he's been a lot better. If you're concerned about that as a Giants fan, I know it's still Eli Manning. I know he's still going to throw an interception. I know, you know, all this. He's not good. Draft a new quarterback. But he has been better the last four games, which is promising. Redskins, on the other hand, are starting Mark Sanchez. Not a great game last week against the Eagles. I don't see Mark Sanchez being too productive against this New York Giants pass defense, although it looks like Landon Collins will be having shoulder surgery. I still like the New York Giants defense to shut down Mark Sanchez and even Adrian Peterson. It's kind of crazy. Last week, Adrian Peterson broke off a 90-yard run, and what if I told you he still failed to get 100 yards on the day?
He averaged 90 yards of carry on that one carry and 1 yard of carry on his other 8 carries.
So there you go. Clearly, I think a lot of it, I mean, it's incredible what Adrian Peterson is doing still, and I'll say that, but a lot of this is coming from the depleted Washington Redskins offensive line. I think Olivier Vernon and some of this pass rush will be able to get going against the Redskins. I mean, the Giants didn't look horrible against the Bears. I know the Bears were starting Chase Daniel, but they looked better than the typical New York Giants of this year. So I'm going to take the Giants in a lock this week. It's just too much for me to go over, to pick Mark Sanchez. And Washington pass D is 27th in the NFL. So look for a big OBJ game. And one thing I do want to bring up is all the buzz around OBJ and Josh Norman has gone down in recent years, but I do think it reignites in this game. Both teams are in tough positions. The Redskins are crumbled. I see some tempers flaring here between OBJ and Josh Norman. I think you see some headlines there about some scuffles. Is it scruffles?
Not scruffles.
Scuffles.
Yeah.
Scuffles.
Scuffles, not scruffles.
I didn't say scruffles. It's definitely scuffles, though.
Scuffles, yeah.
Scuffles.
There you go.
See a little scuffle between Josh Stormer and OBJ out there. We will see. Also, one more tidbit. Saquon Barkley has not fumbled this year in the NFL. I think that's incredible. He hasn't fumbled since his sophomore year at Penn State. So if you're the Washington Redskins hoping to get a fumble out of Saquon Barkley, I don't think it's going to happen. Ryan, who are you going to take in this one?
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants. This is also my favorite of the week. Mm-hmm. The Giants have been playing well as of late. Definitely not like the early Giants that we saw. They're scoring points. They're at least moving the ball a little bit on offense. Washington's just in a really tough spot here with injuries. They lose Alex Smith when they appear to be rolling. Colt McCoy steps in as the backup. This is his fifth year with the Redskins. He knows the system, and then he breaks his fibula. Mark Sanchez comes in. He has some of the coaches on Washington are from the Jets when Mark Sanchez was with the Jets. He was drafted fifth overall by them, I believe in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows a little bit of the offense. He's familiar with some of the offense, but it's a tough spot for him to come in. He came in as a backup just in case, and that just in case happened, and he has to step in. The Giants defense played well last week with the pick six on Chase Daniel. I believe they got Alex Okafor. Ogletree, yeah. He got another interception later in that game. So the Giants' defense has been playing a little bit better. Their offense, moving the ball, like I said. I think it's going to be key to just keep Saquon going, keep Odell going. I mean, he hasn't really exploded this year. He's been all right, but he hasn't really had that huge game. I don't know if it happens again this week with Josh Norman for the Redskins, but I do like the Giants here. Washington's just too depleted with injuries offensively and defensively. Almost their key parts of their offensive line are gone. I think that's why you're seeing a decline in stats for Adrian Peterson. I'm going to take the Giants here. Giants are looking better, and Washington's just in a really, really tough spot. You hate to see it when they're right in the middle of the playoff hunt and you see all these injuries coming out, but I think the Giants win this divisional game in Washington.
All right, so both taking the Giants there, but that was Ryan's favorite. So we're going to move on to my favorite of the week, which is the Buffalo Bills -3 against the New York Jets. Little notes for this game. Sam Darnold will be back in this one. And as you know, Josh Allen is back. So we will see the duel of the rookie quarterbacks in this one. The last time they played, it was Josh McCown versus Matt Barkley. So first time this year, we will see these two rookie quarterbacks go at it against each other. And now the reason why I'm taking the Buffalo Bills is this is actually the first time the Bills are a home favorite this year. So I like that. But I think the Bills are a better team at home. Against the spread at home, I believe they are They are 2-3 against the spread at home, but that's better than what they are on the road. So you definitely want to take the Bills here at home versus on the road. And I do think this Bills D will get turnovers. As we know, it's been an issue for Sam Darnold all year. And kind of the question for him is, you know, is this guy going to be prone to throwing interceptions for the rest of his career? But it may be too early to tell on that. But on the other hand, the Jets are 1-5 on the road. I don't see Isaiah Crowell having too much success against this solid Bills run defense. Strange thing to me is that the Bills did release Kelvin Benjamin. I guess, who has been their leading target, leading receiver over there in Buffalo? Because it's not Zay Jones. It's not LeSean McCoy out of the backfield. I think Ryan's going to look it up right now, but you'd think a guy like Kelvin Benjamin would be a favorite for a rookie quarterback like Josh Allen, just throw it up to, hopefully comes down with it. But strange to me to see Kelvin Benjamin be cut by the Bills. But I guess he seems like he's been a locker room problem at a few teams he's been at. So it seems to me like with a 4-8 team, that was the issue. I think this is a big game for LeSean McCoy against this New York Giants defense. I think he finally breaks out. His value has kind of gone down this year a lot, but I think he finally gets on track with a big game. I think he gets 2 touchdowns. I think, you know, Josh Allen, again, is going to have 150 yards. He'll rush for 50. He's actually, I think, the second all-time rookie quarterback rusher by yards per game behind Robert Griffin III. So I'm expecting another okay game for Josh Allen. But Ryan, I have a question for you real quick. Go long for it. Term, who are you taking? Josh Allen or Sam Darnold? If you had to start a team, who would you want to take in the long run to start your team?
I'm going to go with Josh Allen. I think Sam Darnold is the safer pick. I know he was having a tough year before he got injured. I think he will be a good NFL quarterback. I don't really see him having the potential to be a great NFL quarterback. Uh-huh. If you think about it, I think Sam Darnold will kind of be like Alex Smith, and I think Josh Allen has the potential, or the relative potential, to be like an Aaron Rodgers. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback to ever play in the league. But comparing the two, I think Sam Darnold's kind of going to be that steady guy who gets the job done, never does anything too outlandish. But I think Josh Allen has the potential to be a very, very good quarterback in the league. He has the ability to move around in the pocket, scramble, get yards, and he has that big arm to make big plays. And I think he has more upside, more potential to be a superstar in the league.
Right, and that's something that I've kind of noticed in the draft. You'll see teams, obviously, people were very critical of Sam Darnold in that pick, or Josh Allen, where people were applauding the Jets for taking Sam Darnold, but it's exactly what Ryan just said. You got to be willing to take a risk on a guy who possibly has a lot of upside. You know, if you look at a guy like Aaron Rodgers, he fell to 31st in that draft. What was it, 31st?
I think he was taking 25th.
25th. He fell all the way down to 25, and, you know, he was the unsafe. He wasn't the safest pick, but, you know, here he is as the most 24th, the most talented quarterback of all time. So I think most definitely Josh Allen has more upside. You've seen some of the plays he's been able to make this year. I mean, that throw to, I don't know his name, Foster is his last name.
Robert Foster.
Robert Foster, that's right. 75-yard bomb while he's getting enclosed by Raiders defenders. It was a hell of, I don't know if it was the Raiders. It was a hell of a throw. You know, there's honestly not a lot of quarterbacks in this league who can even make that throw that he made. So, again, there's a little bit of a learning curve with Josh Allen versus Sam Darnold. And I know Sam Darnold was a safer pick, but right now it's not looking too great for him. But, again, Peyton Manning, you know, he broke the record for interceptions in a rookie season. So it's not, you can't overthink this rookie stuff too much, especially if you're a Jets fan here. I would say just slow the roll a little bit, give him a little time, get him another year in the offense. Although it is interesting, the Jets might fire Todd Bowles which would then put him in a new system, which could screw things up, but probably for the better if they do fire him, bring him into a new offensive system. I mean, Bears did it this year with Mitch Trubisky. It's working out for him. So hopefully if they do fire Todd Bowles, they can get an offensive-minded coach and get Sam Darnold into a system in which he can succeed. But we're going to move on.
Little note, Zay Jones is the leading receiver.
It is Zay Jones. Okay.
He leads them in targets and receptions. And Calvin Benjamin was right behind him in targets.
Okay, so actually the Jets and Bills are 2 of 4 teams in the NFL without a player with 500-plus receiving yards. Can you guess who the other two are?
Without 500?
There's two teams in the league that not have a receiver over 500 receiving yards.
I guess the Raiders?
No, they have Jared Cook.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about him.
Two more chances, two more tries, two more guesses.
I have no idea.
AFC East team.
AFC East?
Another AFC East team, yeah. You already got the Bills, the Jets.
The Dolphins?
Yes. Because obviously not the Patriots. But yeah, the Dolphins. I thought Kenny Stills would be up there, but no, he is not. The other team is the Dallas Cowboys. They do not have a 500-yard-plus receiver yet. Kind of makes sense if you look around at their roster, but Amari Cooper will most definitely cross that line by the end of the year. But we're going to move on now. We're going to go to our underdog of the week. Ryan, who are you taking with your underdog pick of the week?
I am going to take the Indianapolis Colts here. They struggled last week, obviously, against the Jacksonville Jaguars, losing that game 6-0. So not a great day offensively, especially not what you would expect from them. They had been rolling up until that point. But I think this is a huge game, obviously, for both teams. But I think it's an even bigger game for Indianapolis because they are still in this thing.
Very much so.
They looked out of it at the beginning of the year. Frank Reich, people were questioning whether he was the right selection. But then all of a sudden, they got Andrew Luck going. They got Marlon Mack back. Their offense started rolling. And they started to win some games. Then last week, you have a terrible offensive performance, and you lose that game 6-0. But I think Indianapolis has shown that they have the capabilities of being a pretty good team. Their defense has been playing pretty well comparative to their defenses of the past 5 to 7 years with Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is probably their best defense that they've had with Andrew Luck. Their defense is playing excellent. The key for the Colts, I still think, is getting Marlon Mack going with the run game, and then Andrew Luck supplementing that with his arm. I know the Texans have a pretty good defense, but I think the Colts can win this game. So I am going to pick them as underdogs, but I actually think that they can win this game. It's not just that they're going to cover. I think they keep this game close. Whether they win it, I don't know. Texans are rolling. They're the first team in NFL history to lose the first 3 games and then win the next 9 games in a row. So they've been very impressive since that early season struggles. But if the Colts want any part of staying in this playoff hunt, staying in this division race, they need to win this game. And I think they know that. I think they're going to come out strong. They're going to play well on both sides of the ball. And I think they're going to give themselves a shot to win this game in Houston against the Houston Texans.
I actually do love this pick. I do think the Texans are due for a loss. They've won 9 in a row. I think it's going to catch up to them. I do think they lose this game as well. I'm taking the Indianapolis Colts. They've been looking a lot better. I know, they, like Ryan said, they had the bad loss against Jacksonville. But, you know, Jacksonville's defense is still legit. They proved that last week. So you're playing a Houston defense this week that's not as good. The Texans now are better at home. And the Colts are 2-4 on the road. But Andrew Luck, who was an MVP candidate before last week, he's kind of fallen out of the race after that performance. But I think he bounces back this week. He really gets after it against this okay Houston secondary. They're all right. They got Tyrann Mathieu and a few other guys. But the focal point of the Houston Texans is the pass rush. But again, the Indianapolis Colts right now have one of the best offensive lines in the league, so I don't see a huge problem with that. And I think Andrew Luck is going to throw for 4 touchdowns, and the Colts are going to sneak out with a win. Again, this is also a divisional game, so when you look at divisional games, a lot closer than a non-conference opponent or a non-divisional opponent. So definitely look for this game to for sure be close. And I think the Colts come out of here with the upset. I'm going to agree with Ryan. So that's Ryan's underdog of the week, but I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to go with the Colts. So we're going to move on. I'm going to go to my underdog of the week. I'm going to take the Chicago Bears +3
Shocker.
At home. Home underdog. The Bears right now are 5-1 at home. Rams are 5-1 on the road, but 5-6 against the spread on the road. There's a lot to say from this game, but first, this is going to be a real exciting game. Fans should be absolutely pleased to watch this game. It got flexed in. Thank God it did. You're going to see Khalil Mack versus Aaron Donald. You're going to see Tariq Cohen, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, Todd Gurley, Mitch Trubisky. The stars are coming out on Sunday night, so it's going to be a really exciting game. But yeah, the Rams this year are 3-3 against the spread on the road. If you look at some of their road games, just going to go over a few of their road games this year in which they've been close. They beat the Broncos 23-20 on the road off of a late field goal. They beat the Seahawks 33-31 on the road on a late field goal. And then they lost to the Saints 45-35 on the road. And last week on the road, they barely snuck it out against the Lions. They were, I know it was 30-16, but they were tied with 7 minutes to go in that game. So for people who think the Bears can't even be in this game, that is completely wrong, because the Bears are better than all those teams except the Saints, and their defense is better than the Saints. So the Bears, to win this game, what they're going to need to do is they're going to need to get extended drives, keep the Rams off the field, and I think they will do that. I think the Bears are going to force a few turnovers here. I'm going to take Vic Fangio against anyone. I'm actually really surprised to see that 73% of the community right here is taking the Rams -3, even with the Bears being at home. They've had some pretty nice wins at home. They beat the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. They beat the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. So, you know, the Bears beat the Rams in every defensive category, so they're clearly the better defense. It's just, can this team keep this offense off the field? I don't see a huge problem with the Bears moving the ball on the Rams defense. I know they have Aqib Talib back, but this is a defense that let out 52 points to the Chiefs. This is a defense that let out 45 points to the Saints, so they're clearly vulnerable, and I know they have some really good playmakers, but again, schematically, Matt Nagy, he's going to draw some things up. They're going to be able to score points. Also, Mitch Trubisky is back, and that is huge, because this kid can extend drives with his legs. He can make the throws that Chase Daniel can't make, and they can just do so much more with him. So I'm not going to blame the loss last week on Chase Daniel, but if Mitch Trubisky is in that game last week, the Bears win by at least 10 points. So if you have any doubt about the Bears because of that Giants game, I know the defense didn't look as good, but, you know, a lot of that is coming from Chase Daniel being in that offense. Ryan, what do you have to say about this game?
I think the Rams are going to win this game. Chicago's defense has actually been struggling as of late, or at least they haven't been as dominant as they were earlier in the season. Sean McVay is probably the smartest head coach in the league, I would say, the best play designer in the league. He puts Jared Goff in perfect situations every time he snaps the ball. I think the Rams offense is just too good for this Bears defense, and I don't think the Bears offense is good enough to overcome the difference in the Rams defense and the Bears or the Rams offense and the Bears defense. I do think this game will be relatively close. I don't know if it'll ever feel like Chicago is gonna win the game, but I think the score will be close. I think the Rams win this by a touchdown or more. The Rams are just too good right now. They're fighting to get that number one spot in the playoffs. They have the one game lead over the Saints, and they're gonna do everything that they can to keep that lead, especially with the Saints having the tiebreaker over them with the head-to-head win. So I think the Rams are gonna come out strong, And I think they're going to win this game on the road in Chicago.
See, one thing I want to notice is that the Rams have clinched the NFC West. And I know they're fighting for that first spot. But you may see them let up just a little bit. There's not going to be that... You know there's not going to be that same fire.
You saw what happened last year. The Eagles would not have won the Super Bowl without that number one.
That's
spot.
True. I mean, we'll see how different teams react to
very,
it.
Very, very underrated of how important that number one spot is. You get the bye, an extra week of rest. You get to play in front of your home fans for the 2 weeks of the conference playoff games. And then, obviously, the Super Bowl after that. But those two home games cannot be understated how important they are. I can tell you that the Rams do not want to face Drew Brees in the Superdome in New Orleans at the end of January.
We will see. I think you're underestimating the Bears' defense still. I think they're top five in nearly any category you could think of.
They have been dominant early in the year, but past 3 weeks they have not looked.
Well, look, they had the shortest amount of rest in NFL history against the Lions.
What happened last week against the Giants?
Last week was tough. You know, you're playing in the rain.
You lost to the Giants.
Yeah, well, that's not at the hands of the defense.
It was not at the hands of the Giants.
But it's not at the hands of the defense.
It was a loss.
It was a loss to the Giants, but I'm not putting it against the defense in that one.
So 30 points isn't the defense's fault.
Could we put it down to 23 because of the pick six from Alex Ogletree?
24.
24? Okay, there you go.
So that's still 24 points.
I'm not saying the Giants' offense isn't bad. They have playmakers.
I'm just saying that this Bears defense looks like they're tired. They look like they're struggling.
They're different at home. It's Sunday night football.
From carrying, what, the third largest metropolitan area in America on their back for the past 11 weeks.
They sure carried the team when Mitch Trubisky threw six touchdowns, didn't they? All right. I think that's the end of that.
I think the Buccaneers scored what?
We're going to move
points?
On. We're going to go to our sleeper of the week. Ryan, who is your sleeper of the week?
My sleeper of the week is going to be the Oakland Raiders against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I have Oakland at plus 11. I think they lose this game by 10. You look at what they did last week. They kept it close with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know the Chiefs don't have a great defense, but their defense is actually starting to play a little bit better. They only lose that game by a touchdown. They're in the game points-wise, and I think it's going to be the same with Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is going to throw the ball a ton. I would not be surprised if Ben Roethlisberger has 55-plus attempts. James Conner not playing. They're going to go with Jalen Samuels and a little bit of Steven Ridley, which I think means that they're going to throw the ball a ton. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get a ton of targets. I think Antonio Brown is going to have a huge day against this Oakland defense that is not great. They just put Reggie Nelson on IR. They signed cornerback Bine Benwickery. So he's going to be new to the system. I think Pittsburgh wins this game. I don't think it's going to ever be in doubt. But I think Oakland will keep within that margin of error. I think they lose this game by 10 points. They can put up some points. I mean, Derek Carr has not looked the same since he broke his leg 2 years ago, I believe. But this was a guy who was talked about as an MVP candidate. He has some talent. I think they'll be able to score some points on Pittsburgh. You look at what happened last week. Pittsburgh looked like they had the game against the Chargers in hand easily at halftime. They lose the game. It was the first time that they lost the game in Pittsburgh when leading by 14 or more mm-hmm. points. So I think Oakland's going to be able to score some points, match Pittsburgh a little bit. I think Pittsburgh wins, like I said, but Oakland keeps it within 11.
I like that. Oakland's record at home is 1-4, but they're against the spread. They are 2-3, and you know you can't look at stats all the time. This team is just better at home. And last week they held the Chiefs for pretty much most of that game, and they came back, almost had a chance to win that thing. So, and again, that's against one of the better teams in the AFC. And I think the Steelers overall are trending in the wrong direction. I feel like the Chargers have overtaken them as the third best team in the AFC, and I think they just, I just don't think they're ready this year to win a Super Bowl like they want to. And then, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is at the end of his time. Le'Veon Bell probably gone. So Pittsburgh Steelers after this year could be trending in the wrong direction. But all that's long-term stuff. We're going to go to this game again. I think the Oakland Raiders can do a few things. They have CJ Anderson, which is something new they'll be able to throw at the Steelers. Again, 11 is a huge number, especially for this Raiders team who plays better at home. They have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, unfortunately. Sorry, Oakland, you guys are done. But I like Ryan's pick there of the Oakland Raiders being able to cover that 11-point spread right now. We're going to move to my sleeper of the week, Falcons, I'm taking. Falcons, who are a 5.5-point underdog right now against the Green Bay Packers. Now, the thing that confuses me, I talked about it a little earlier when I went over the storylines, is that Mike McCarthy has gotten fired, and everyone thinks the Packers are going to be better off for it. You know, you have Joe Philbin right now, a guy who is like 32 and 45 or something as the head coach of the Dolphins, who is your interim head coach. Sure, Mike McCarthy's play calling wasn't great. He made some questionable decisions, but you can't just go in and say Joe Philbin's going to automatically be a better option than Mike McCarthy for this team. And it's not just the fact that they've switched head coaches. This is kind of a team that's becoming dysfunctional. You know, they're 4-7-1. They haven't been this bad in a long time. They just fired one of their longtime assistants. They finally lost at home. They never lose at home. Aaron Rodgers lost at home. Aaron Rodgers has no confidence. 2 weeks ago, he guaranteed them making the playoffs. He said, I'm going to, you know, go out there, beat Arizona, and beat Chicago, a place we've won many times. We're going to beat them, beat this, beat them. Yeah, well, that didn't happen. And this team, again, is another team to me that's trending in the wrong direction. Falcons, on the other hand, they get Deion Jones back. They had him back last week, but he clearly wasn't 100% this week. I expect him to be 100%. Tough thing about the Falcons right now is they are 1-4 on the road. That concerns me, but this Falcons offense, I say it every week, they're still really good. They still have one of the best offenses in the league, talent-wise. Their play calling isn't great because they need to fire Steve Sarkisian. If they don't do that, I'm going to be extremely pissed off at the front office of the Atlanta Falcons. But, you know, Tevin Coleman, Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, Kevin Ridley, they can get it done against this Green Bay Packers secondary, who does not impress me whatsoever. And the Packers are dysfunctional. That's just the only way it is at this point. You know, it's crazy. I mean, this is just a sign. They were favored by 4. And after Mike McCarthy got fired, the line moved in their favor 1.5 points. That it just baffles me that people are saying, I mean, they said Aaron Rodgers would change the plays like half the time. So like, okay, he's changing the plays half the time, but it's clearly not doing anything. So I don't know. It confuses me. I don't see how people are saying the Packers are going to be better off if you're firing their head coach. Like, sure, it may seem like that on paper, but you know, locker room-wise, team-wise, chemistry-wise, it's sure going to screw things up, and I think it's going to affect this team. I think they lose their second straight home game, which is something that I'm sure they haven't done in a very long time. So, Atlanta Falcons this week are a sleeper. What do you think about that?
I actually disagree with what you're saying, that they're going to screw stuff up in the locker room. This locker room was already screwed up. The players did not respond to anything Mike McCarthy was saying. They clearly just did not want him as their head coach anymore. And yes, he won them a Super Bowl, but that was, what, 2011 that the Packers won the Super Bowl. You have Aaron Rodgers, the most talented quarterback of all time, and you only get to one Super Bowl. You only win one Super Bowl. It was clearly time to get rid of him. I think it was just a matter of time, whether it was now or at the end of the season. I don't really think it makes a big difference. I think he was going to get fired either way. Aaron Rodgers, it seemed like for a while, Aaron Rodgers was not too fond of Mike McCarthy anymore, and it just seemed like they were going in different directions. I think this will light a fire under the Green Bay Packers. I mean, this is one of the most storied franchises in the NFL with Vince Lombardi and all that. I think they will win this game. I think Atlanta will cover. So I do like your pick. but I don't see them crumbling and, you know, losing out for the rest of the season. I think this was just a move that needed to happen. Hopefully it'll light a fire under them. They'll start waking up and playing better. But yeah, I mean, clearly they weren't going in the right direction, and they're still continuing. They're not going in the right direction. They have to figure some things out. Hopefully they figure it out at some point in the off season and get it right. But I think this season is a wash for them. I think I don't think they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but I certainly don't think they have a great shot. I think they'd have to win out and get some help to get a wild card spot. So I think the Packers will win at home against Atlanta, but I think Atlanta will cover. So I do like your pick of them covering, at least. I don't know if they win this game.
Yep, so those were our picks. We're just going to go over the playoffs, okay, show you guys what's going on right now in the playoff races and what are some implications this week for some of these games around the league. If you look at the NFC right now, you got the Rams in with the first seed, 11-1. The Saints at the second seed, 10-2. The Chicago Bears, third seed, 8-4. The Dallas Cowboys, fourth seed, 7-5. The two wildcard teams right now are the Seahawks at 7-5 and the Vikings at 6-5. You look at teams that are in the hunt. The Panthers have dropped three straight. They are now 6-6. The Eagles, the Panthers this week, they play, who do they play? I think they play the Browns. Panthers play the Browns this week on the road. Eagles this week, huge game for them. They play the Dallas Cowboys. I said a few weeks ago, I believe this game will decide the winner of the NFC East, and I think that is true. I think the Eagles win that game. I think they take over the lead in the NFC East. And then after that, you got the Redskins 6-6, but I think we're pretty much going to assume that they are done now that they have Mark Sanchez, Buccaneers 5-7, and everyone else is out. AFC, Chiefs. 10-2, number one seed. Patriots, 9-3, number two seed. Texans, 9-3, number four seed. They've won 9 in a row. They're in three seed, my fault. Steelers, 7-4, four seed. Chargers, wildcard team, 9-3. Ravens, wildcard team, 9-7. It's kind of crazy right now. You're in the AFC, you see a wildcard that is 9-3. You don't see that very often. But in the hunt, 6-6, Dolphins, 6-6, Colts, 6-6, Broncos, 6-6, Titans. I have a question for you, Ryan. Out of those four teams in the hunt at 6-6 in the AFC, who are you taking to make the wild card if the Ravens falter?
Out of those four teams, going to have to go with the Colts. I mean, the Dolphins, they started off hot, have fallen since then. The Broncos traded away Demaryius Thomas. They just lost Emmanuel Sanders. Courtland Sutton hasn't really stepped up for them like they had hoped. And the Titans, I just simply do not have faith in. I don't have faith in their offense getting it going. I don't have faith in their defense really being able to cover everything, all the shortcomings of their offense. So I think the Colts are pretty much the only team that I would give a shot to sneak into the wild card.
All right, I'm going to take the Broncos there, but I think it's either the Colts or the Broncos. It's just pretty interesting here how the wild card in the when I looked at these teams earlier in the year, I thought the AFC was going to be the worst conference of the two, but it's kind of looking like, you know, that they might be the better conference based off of some of these records, but still a lot of good teams in the NFC. I think the NFC playoff picture, the only thing that's going to change here is the swap between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I think everything else stays the same. I think the Seahawks stay at number 5 and the Vikings stay at number 6. I mean, if you look at the rest of it, I don't see the Panthers getting in at this point. So it's pretty much going to come down to the NFC East battle for that fourth seed in the NFC. Yep, that was the Week 14 podcast. I'm Kevin Lapka.
One more question.
Hold on. What is it?
Give me your Super Bowl.
Super Bowl as of now? This is tough, man. I'm going to go with the Patriots from the AFC. And I think I'm going to have to go with the Rams. It's hard because the Saints dominated the Rams, but then they lose to the Cowboys. But I think head-to-head, if they were to go at it one more time in LA, I would take the Rams. When I look at the AFC, I don't see the Chiefs getting past the Patriots again in Foxborough. They played early in the year. They lost. I see the Patriots, even Because I see the Patriots getting the number one seed in the AFC, to me. I still think, dude, it's crazy, I still think the Chiefs are going to be the wild card team in the AFC. I think the Chargers actually win the AFC West. I've said that for weeks. But Patriots, AFC is going to run through Foxborough. If it does, Patriots going to the Super Bowl. NFC, you're going to probably get the Bears versus the Saints in the NFC divisional round, Rams versus Eagles or Seahawks. There's a chance the Bears could beat the Saints, but right now you're probably looking at Saints versus Rams. And in LA, I'm going to take the Rams over the Saints simply because it's at home. But again, if the Saints take over that number one seed in the NFC, I'm going to take the Saints to go to the Super Bowl. I think in this position, especially, home field advantage is huge because the Saints are a different team at home. I think their two losses this year came on the... No. They lost to the Bucs at home. But last week on the road at Dallas, they were not themselves. I think it is crucial for them to be at home if they want to make a path to the Super Bowl. Any more questions, Ryan?
Who's your winner?
Who's my winner of the Super Bowl? I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams. Again, when you have a team with this much talent this year, I'm honestly, like, you're expected to win the Super Bowl. Like, this team is expected to win the Super Bowl. You're 11-1. You have the smartest coach in the NFL. You have, you know, the most talent by far in the NFL. You have no excuses with the talent on your team to not make and not win the Super Bowl. So I think the Rams should win the Super Bowl, but it's going to be tough to get past, you know, either the Patriots or the Chiefs. It's going to be a great playoffs, people. Expect that for sure. Expect it for sure, but I'm going to take the Rams right now at this point in the season to make the Super Bowl, but a lot can change. The Bears play the Rams this week. Whoever gets that first, second seed, whoever loses the rest of the way out, it'll be interesting to keep an eye on the rest of the way, but as of week 14, I'll go Rams versus Patriots with the Rams winning the Super Bowl, but hey, that could change in a few weeks.
I'm going to go with the Chargers and the Saints in the Super Bowl, and...
You see the Chargers being able to knock off the Patriots in Foxborough?
I do.
Okay.
The Chargers right now are 8th in total defense in the league. I think their offense is can hang with the best of them once they get Melvin Gordon going, once they get Keenan Allen going. I think this is a very, very good Chargers team. And you know what? I think they can knock off the Saints. I think their defense, if their defense plays well, you got Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa on the pass rush. You got Derwin James in the secondary. I think the Chargers can win the Super Bowl. I think this could be the year. And a little bit of a old Chargers quarterback scheme between Drew Brees and Philip Rivers.
I love that.
And yeah, I think the Chargers are... I think they're going to make some noise this year in the playoffs.
I certainly think this is a different year. Like, I don't remember the last time the Chargers were on Sunday Night Football. I believe it was 2014. But finally, the Chargers get to show themselves. And, you know, if the Chargers lost that game against the Steelers, I'd say another Chargers year, you know, can maybe barely get into the playoffs and then lose early or maybe not even get in. But this team beat the Steelers. They've finally proven themselves as a legit team in the AFC. And they have a crap ton of talent over there in Los Angeles. To be honest, they have more talent than the New England Patriots. Whole team, because their defense just has so much more talent. I think the Patriots offense has more talent, but the defense of the Chargers has so much more talent. The only thing that's going to be tough is obviously coaching. And it's so hard to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in the playoffs, but the Chargers surely could do it. And I think that's going to be a huge matchup if the Chargers do play the Patriots. Definitely be a close one. So Ryan's taking the Chargers to win the Super Bowl, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to go with it.
Ryan's taking the Chargers. I'm going to take the Rams as of now, but ask me this question next week, I'll have a changed opinion. If the Bears beat the Rams, that changes a lot of things. And if the Chiefs lose this week and the Chargers take over that number one seed, I might put the Chargers up there. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Watch football this week. Ton of great games. My favorite games of the week are Bears, Rams, Cowboys, Eagles. What else do we got? There's actually not. it's not too many exciting games, honestly. I'm looking at Bears, Rams, Cowboys, Eagles, and Vikings, Seahawks is an interesting one because those are the two wild card teams. Yeah, so those three games, the three primetime games of the week, are meaning the America's Game of the Week is Philadelphia Eagles versus Dallas Cowboys, Sunday Night Football Bears versus Rams, and Monday Night Football Vikings versus Seahawks. Keep your eye on those games. The rest of them, just watch for your fantasy players. I don't know. Keep your eye on these games. A few upsets this week. Hope you guys had a great week. I'm Kevin Lapka. That's Ron Talley. This was the Lapka and Talley podcast. Have a great week, guys.
We'll see you.